WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming king awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
America, arise and build. And we're going to continue on the area of the anointing. That's where we finished off our last program, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or be somebody that's really steeped in, world affairs to understand that we live in a very wicked, evil world. We're surrounded by corruption and perversion, lies and deception, it seems like, on every side. And if we think that we can fight this battle in our own power, in our own strength, we are sadly mistaken. You know that the devil is not afraid of flesh and blood. The only thing he fears is the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of the sacrificial Lamb of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. That's all. You know, when Jesus was tempted and tested for 40 days in the wilderness by the devil, he answered in every case with, "It is written." It is written. It is written, "Get thou behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Praise God. That's the only thing that Satan fears. So we need to have the full armor of God. We need this anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we're going to continue our message tonight. We're talking about rebuilding a nation. In particular, we're talking about the United States of America, but we're not just talking about the United States. We're talking about all nations. God loves all people of all nations, but our focus is on the United States. As I've been explaining in the last several messages that I've had, how the Holy Spirit put on my heart to pray for the United States, pray for the President of the United States, and that this President Donald Trump had that Cyrus anointing. He began to speak to me about that, more than a year and a half ago, about the Cyrus anointing, and that's when I really began to pay attention and understand that Cyrus was prophesied by God 150 years before he was born. And to me, that's very exciting to know that God even called him by name 150 years before he was born. And that really encourages me in my faith to know that when God has given me a promise, it will surely come to pass. Things don't always come to pass in our time frame, but they will surely come to pass. Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle, not one word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but these words will never pass away. And so we can put our confidence in God. We can trust in the promises of God, and we can trust in the God of the promise. So the anointing, he calls Cyrus my anointed, and that's what the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and I discovered many other people as well, and not only in the United States, but outside of the United States and other countries. I'm here in Colombia, South America. I'm a Canadian citizen, and God began to speak to me that same message of Cyrus, my anointed, and that Donald Trump would be a modern-day Cyrus that he would use to bring deliverance to the United States of America, to bring it back on its biblical foundation, in the same way that Cyrus of old was used. He was a Persian king to bring the exiles back from their captivity and back into the land of Israel, the rebuilding of the temple, that was Ezra, and the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem, that was Nehemiah. So we have the spiritual, you could say the spiritual, the inner man, the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we've been born again, we are that temple. God is rebuilding. He's the character of Christ in us. He's taken us. We're not what we used to be. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. And so we're being transformed. We're being changed into the image of Jesus. And then Nehemiah, which represents the political part, the outer part, and of course, individually, that typifies the outer workings of the Holy Spirit that have begun on the inside. And so we do things that maybe we wouldn't have done before we were born again. We have changed our attitudes. We've changed our motivation. We've changed our reason for living. We changed our destination. We were headed for hell. Now we're headed for heaven. And so we have corresponding works that follow. That's the outer, as applied to us as individuals. Nationally, the same thing is happening in nations. God is calling nations. And we must remember that nations are made up of people. So this whole thing begins with people. It begins with individuals. It begins with a remnant. God always works with the remnant, the righteous remnant. Those that haven't sold out to the devil, they haven't sold out to secular humanism, they haven't sold out to atheism and Satanism and communism and socialism and evolutionism and false religions like Islam declares that God has no son. They haven't sold out. They stayed true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that would be like Nehemiah, that would be like Ezra in the Old Testament that God used to rebuild the temple and then the outer wall. And that's really where our focus is in the United States of America, and we're going to look into these parallels that we see in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, and also Cyrus. They were all contemporaries, and it all worked together. It was all part of God's divine plan right from the very beginning. Even before Israel went into captivity for 70 years, God had already prophesied their deliverance from captivity, and that Cyrus would be his anointed that he would use to accomplish that. The last message, we were sharing about the anointing. And I want to stay on that just for at least another program, maybe another program or two on the anointing, because it's very significant and very, very important. When God calls Cyrus my anointed, and we've seen last week, we've seen that in the Old Testament, that prophets, priests, and kings were anointed for that specific office. They were given a special anointing for that, to fulfill those offices. And then we see in the New Testament that Jesus Christ himself is our prophet, he's our priest, and he is our king. He fulfills all of those. And then we are called and we are anointed with the Holy Spirit to be priests and kings unto the Lord. And so if you missed last week, I just suggest you go back and find that on WATB radio there. It'll be recorded there, and you can listen to that that part of the message from last week. I want to continue on this subject of the anointing, because we need to understand that Satan is not afraid of you. He's not afraid of flesh and blood. He's absolutely not afraid. The only thing he fears is the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when we come into that salvation experience, all of a sudden, Satan fears you, but it's not you that he fears, it's Christ in you. And he fears that anointing that comes with the born-again experience and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to talk about tonight a little bit more. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's what he fears. And I'm going to read some scriptures from the Word of God tonight that I think are going to help us with our understanding. And the first one I'm going to turn to is in Luke chapter 3, and if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me, and this is what the Word of God says. John the Baptist answered in verse 16, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Wow, he's talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we need to be born again. We need to be baptized in water. But there's a baptism that's greater than that, and it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is a greater baptism. And so it's possible to be born again. And, of course, when you're born again, you receive the Spirit of Christ, but not necessarily the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we want to zero in, because that's what Satan fears more than any other thing. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, and this is in the context of the rebuilding of the temple. And so what is God doing? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when we're talking about rebuilding a nation, we're not just talking about that wall along the Mexican border, which I believe is ordained of God, and I believe that God has anointed Donald Trump for that purpose. At least that's part of the purpose that he's anointed him for. But there's another part of this that we need to understand, is that God is also rebuilding the spiritual walls in the nation that have been torn down over the past number of decades through secular humanism, atheism, Satanism, and the devil's doctrine of number one weapon of Satan, like Islam and all the other onslaughts of the devil, evolutionism, and so on. And the walls have been torn down, walls of truth and justice and righteousness and integrity and honor. They have been torn down. And secular humanism, you know, which doesn't accept the word of God. It's an atheistic gospel. It's an atheistic doctrine that puts man at the center. We need to understand that. That's what socialism is. That's what communism is. It puts man at the center, and it dethrones God, as opposed to the biblical understanding of Christ in me, the hope of glory, and Christ now becomes the center. And so secular humanism, atheism, Satanism, and all these isms, they dethrone God. They put man, it's really what it is, it's Baal worship. It's a thing of the flesh, it's a thing of the earth. And it's nothing more than Baal, a new form, you could say, of Baal worship. And it must be repented of. It must be repented of. Satan does not fear you as a human being, but he fears the name of Jesus, and he fears the anointing. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 24, and let's read another scripture. And now this is right after the resurrection of Jesus, and he's giving a last word to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. And listen to what he says here. He says, "Thus it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day," and verse 47, "and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you were witnesses of these things." Verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And we're going to leave it right there for just a couple of minutes. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to be right back. You can have your Bibles ready in Acts chapter 1. Praise God.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Hello, bride. This is Dr. June Knight with We Are the Bride Ministries. We would like to invite you to watch other shows on WATB Radio, which you can find at www.watbradio.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at WATB Radio. We are also on iTunes at WATB Radio. We have other shows on the radio called Bride Time Live, and that's where I interview ministers all over the world. Hear their journey of what God did to take them from nothing and make them into something. And then they preach. They have a few minutes to preach. Then we have the Clarion Call Show. This show exposes what the devil is doing in the church and in the nation. It is education to the bride of false moving in our nation so that we can know the truth. Then we have The Watchman with Pastor Jeff. The Watchman talks about eschatology and the end of times. So join us, bride, at WATBRadio.com. We're also on Blog Talk Radio at WATB Radio. God bless you.
Hey, we're back. And speaking of books, I also have books available on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. And I just want to read a little excerpt from my book titled The Judas Generation. What began in glory will end in glory. What began in a garden will find its conclusion in a garden. What began in glory will end in glory. What began by eating fruit from a forbidden tree and resulting in death will find its conclusion in eating from an acceptable tree and resulting in eternal life. Jesus is the tree of life, as we well know. And so the Judas culture of betrayal of the sacred trust given to us by God and the generational Judas curse handed to us by our forefathers and fed and nurtured by our own proud egos and fallen natures comes to an end in another garden, eating fruit from another tree, the place where the two ways meet. And I won't go any further than that, but praise God, it's really powerful. It's a powerful book, a powerful revelation that the Holy Spirit gave me several years ago, and I really would like to encourage you to get that book in Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Judas Generation, and I'm the author, Marvin Swanson. You can get it in paperback, or you can get it with the, what did they call that, the electronic version. Praise God. So there we go. Let's continue now. And now we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, but en route, I want to stop here just for a moment in the book of John. And listen to this now. The next day, John, this is John chapter 1, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came, baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The exact opposite of what the Quran and Islam testifies that God has no son. John the Baptist is testifying that Jesus is the Son of God, and if we've been born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, we will have that same confession. Praise God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he ascends into heaven. And here is his instruction: "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now that word power is the word dunamos, dynamite. Now I live here in the mountains in Colombia, and building roads through the mountains is a very, very costly, difficult job. And you need dynamite. You need explosives to remove some of those big boulders and make tunnels and all that kind of stuff. You need explosives. And so this is really what he's talking about, that kind of explosive dynamite power, because his disciples were also going to be building roads, spiritual roads, through the, you could say, the rugged terrain of man's vain philosophies and of dead religion and all these kind of things that would oppose the gospel. They would be in opposition to the gospel, as we see all the way through the New Testament, the opposition. And so they would be building these spiritual highways, these spiritual roads for future generations, and they would need this dynamite power. We need this dynamite power as well to remove those boulders of unbelief, boulders and mountains of fear and doubt and skepticism and false doctrines like Islam and secular humanism and atheism and communism and socialism and Satanism and all these isms, to remove them. We need that dunamos. We need that dynamite power. We're road builders, just like the apostles of old. We're building spiritual highways. We have the ministry of reconciliation, bringing reconciliation between fallen man, fallen humanity, and the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We need the dunamos. We absolutely need the power of God. We need the anointing. And so he said, but you shall receive this dunamos power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very end of the earth. And then I'm going to just turn over to Acts chapter 2. And many of you are probably familiar with these scriptures. This is on the day of Pentecost, so this would be 50 days after the Passover Lamb of God died on the cross. He died on the biblical feast of Passover as the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God for the sins of the world. And now 50 days later, according to the biblical pattern of feasts, Passover, you know, and then Pentecost, or the week Feast of Weeks, and then Tabernacles following, comes this Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, which means in Greek, Pente is 50. So 50 days later, according to the biblical pattern that God laid down way back in the Old Testament with Moses and the working of the law in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on. And so this is the biblical feast. It's now being fulfilled, and the promise of the Father is poured out on the disciples as they are waiting in one accord in this upper room in Jerusalem. And the Bible says there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now remember now, there was about 120 disciples in the upper room. It wasn't just the 12 apostles, or at that point the 11, and of course they picked another one by lot, but that's about the last we hear him. I believe that apostle that was chosen by God was the apostle Paul a little bit later on, that replaced Judas Iscariot. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully now. These are the disciples that had walked with Jesus for 3 or 3.5 years. They had seen signs and wonders. They had laid hands on the sick. They had cast out devils. They had seen all that stuff, all the miracles of Jesus. But Jesus said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you receive this helper, this Holy Spirit, this comforter that will come, and he will be one like me. He will be one, and he's going to help you. He'll not only be with you, but he'll be in you. You're going to need this dunamos power if you're going to build these spiritual highways and be successful in this ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. So the only man that had the message of salvation on the earth, he told to wait until you receive this dunamos dynamite power. And if you recall, the Apostle Peter, on the day of, the night of Jesus' betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times. That was Peter, who thought he could serve God in his own power. He thought he could do it in his own strength. He says, you know, the rest of the people, they might run away, all the other disciples, but I'll never leave you, Jesus. I will go to prison with you. I'll even die for, you know, with you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows tonight, you will have denied me 3 times. And of course, Peter had a very difficult time believing that. But just a few hours later, it all came true. Now, here's what we're going to see. And we're going to understand on the day of Pentecost, here's what happened. So they're all baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. You know what that tells me? The gospel is for all nations, for every kindred, every tongue. The gospel is to go to all nations, every language, every tribe, no matter the nationality, the skin color, the gender. The gospel is for everyone. And then verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And then we're going to drop down to verse 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Now listen carefully. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to shut up. All you're going to be able to do is talk about the wonderful works of God. All you're going to be able to do is testify and tell about this wonderful Jesus that you have encountered. You've been born again. You've been saved from your sin. I was on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven. And this spirit of boldness and this overflowing blessing and joy is going to come into your heart, and it's going to overflow. It's going to bubble over, and you're going to tell your friends, your neighbors, your family. You're going to tell everybody around you about the amazing works of God, this wonderful Jesus, and the wonderful things, this wonderful salvation that he has brought into your life, the forgiveness that he's brought in, the healing of your soul, and you're going to testify. That's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to all nations, Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the earth. All around, you're going to testify no matter where you go. Wherever your feet are planted, wherever on this earth, you are going to testify of the wonderful, the amazing works of God. Now listen to this. They were in confusion. What is this all about? They thought these men must be drunk. And Peter gets up and he says, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk. Well, maybe they were drunk on the new wine, the new wine of the Holy Spirit, but they certainly were not drunk with that old man-made kind of wine, that fermented wine. They were not drunk on that for sure. And he says, these men are not drunk. And he says, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, and it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it came to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God do through him in your midst, as yourselves also know, it's him. This is what this is all about. Now, I want you to read the rest for yourself because we're running out of time. Read the rest of that chapter for yourself, and you'll discover this same Peter that only 50 days before had denied Jesus, thinking he could serve him in his own power. He gets up after the baptism. This is why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive that dunamos, that mountain-moving, that boulder-moving, road-building construction material called the Holy Spirit, that dunamos of God. And Peter gets up and he preaches with boldness right in the face of the very people that he had denied Christ before 50 days earlier. Now he gets up and preaches the most powerful message of his life. Just think about it. Getting up in the public square, wherever you live, in the United States of America or anywhere else on the earth, getting up in the public square and boldly renouncing secular humanism, atheism, political correctness, the devil's doctrine, his number one weapon against the Western world, political correctness, getting up like Donald Trump has done countless times in the last year and a half, and renounced and denounced political correctness publicly before thousands of people on the national television. Wow, that's because of the anointing that's on his life, that Cyrus anointing. We need that anointing. And so here the Apostle Peter gets up and boldly proclaims the gospel right in the very face, right in the very teeth of these people that had yelled, crucify him on the night of Jesus' betrayal. Praise God. Here's what happened. They came under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Again, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. Satan doesn't fear you. He didn't fear Peter. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Satan fears. That's what the powers of hell and darkness fear, is that anointing. And that's why Satan tries to keep you away from it, because he knows that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to become powerful, you're going to become bold, you're going to become fearless. You're no longer going to fear the face of men, but you are going to fear God. And you're not going to be afraid to testify to your family and your friends and your neighborhood and your community about the wonderful works of God and the amazing works that Jesus Christ did on the cross for their salvation. And so they come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They said, what shall we do? And here's what Peter said. And you want to mark this down. You can find this in the book of Acts for yourself. He said, repent. Repent. That is the first word of the gospel. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for your sins. That's water baptism. That's the baptism of John. That's what we do. And then he said, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And this is for you and also your children and future generations. It didn't stop in the book of Acts. So repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for your sins. That's water baptism. And receive the Holy Spirit. And praise God. The Bible says they met daily in the temple and from house to house breaking bread, fellowshipping under the apostles' doctrine. And the church grew as God permitted and as God added to them daily. That is the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we need that anointing. Our time is up. We're going to continue this on our next program, the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the anointing and rebuilding not only our own personal lives, but rebuilding a nation, rebuilding those spiritual walls that have been torn down through atheism and secular humanism and all these isms, false religions like Islam, and have been torn down, where man has put himself at the center, and we need to come back to a Christ-centered gospel, a Christ-centered lifestyle individually and as a nation. And Jesus, the name of Jesus will be exalted, and Jesus will perform signs and wonders and miracles, even as he did with the apostles and in the book of Acts. That's what we're looking for, rebuilding those spiritual walls and rebuilding that spiritual temple. If you've been born again, we are that temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming again. Are you ready? On that day, he's coming as the righteous judge, and on that day, it's going to be too late. Today, if you hear his voice, humble yourself before the throne of God. Ask God to forgive you. Receive that forgiveness and confess Jesus Christ with your mouth as Lord, believing in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and you will be saved. Until next time, Jesus is Lord.